Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. What a wonderful program we got for you today. Today on the program, I want to get into what Justin Kirshner said about, because he's supposed to testify on all this stuff. It's what he said is just amazing. I want to get into that. Also, you know, we got this sexist and racist president that elected a female to the White House press secretary position. You know, God forbid a sexist would do that, you know, but he did. And she is now being called a butch queen. Iron Madison III of the Daily Beast is calling her out. Where are all the feminists outraged about this? Oh yeah, I forgot, they only care about liberal females, not conservative females. You can trash Sarah Palin all you want because feminists don't care about her, but you talk about Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton, Lord help you. Once a Marine, always a Marine. This story is just amazing. A 92-year-old World War II vet, Howard Banks, has been having his flags torn with and trampled with, and he was given an honor flight to Washington, D.C., after former Marines heard about his story and all this, and one of the former Marines, what he said, who was in Iraq, it's just amazing. Also, last night, I got to listen to Donald J. Trump's remarks from the 2017 National Scout Jamboree. Incredible. I was actually there in 1989 and got to hear the elder George Bush speak, and it's just amazing to be in the presence of the president. And something, I want to get into some things Donald Trump talked about, good and bad and all that stuff. And so I also want to get into, I don't know if you heard about this, but on Saturday, the Olympic swimmer, Michael Phelps, took on Jaws in a swimming contest. I want to get into who won and why everyone's got their panties in a bunch because of what really went on. That much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, and you are. Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Kind of think about that as you're going through whatever part of the day it is, whether it's night or evening, if you're listening to this on the replay, the podcast. Okay. Thank you so much. What an incredible night. I want to get into this now because I'm going to talk about this first, but oh, what the heck. Last night, I got to hear Donald J. Trump speak to the Boy Scouts of America at the 2017 National Scout Jamboree, and I could say it was kind of a little politicky. He did kind of put a lot of politics in it, which a lot of people, and if you've looked into the history of the speeches, they've really been nonpartisan, the speeches. But it was amazing, though. I like how he did it. It was tasteful. It was amazing. He gave the scouts encouragement and hope. You know, without being blunt about it, he's like, you know, look at the tree. Without saying this, he's kind of like, look at the trees. Money doesn't grow on it. You got to earn it. You got to do stuff. Make stuff with your hands. You know, get. It's what this country was founded on. You know, the country was founded on the Scout motto: to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, buying, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Where have we strayed? Now we live in a nation where it's, what do you mean healthcare? What do you mean pay? Who's going to pay for healthcare? It's free. You know, we lived in it. We grew up in a society where my ancestors came here with $40. And they made something out of it. Now it's like, where's my $40? I want money. Give it to me. And it was just awesome. And he did make a remark because the only, from what I've read, the only sitting president who has not gone to a national jamboree was, guess who? Barack Obama. In 2010, he sent a video. And in 2013, at the jamboree, he basically turned down the invitation. He was offended that the scouts don't allow gays and all this stuff. And one thing you don't realize is I think it was like 12 years ago, there was a lawsuit because how can you force people to say, talk about God in scouts? And they actually lost a lawsuit because as a Boy Scout, not everyone can be one. They don't just accept any boy that walks in. There is criteria. They are selective. And since they are selective, you know, just like the Mountain Scouts, you know, they're a selective group of people. You know, there are groups that are like a scout group, but they do stuff and they're Jewish. And if you're Jew, you can belong. If you're not, you can't. You know, they don't just allow anyone to walk in. And in 1989, in between stuff I saw, I went to the National Jamboree and I got to see George Herbert Walker, but the first Bush. And it was just incredible. The main topic then was what he called the five unacceptables, getting drugs out of our high schools, and talked about many things. And it was just, I'll never forget it. It was just a moment that, you know, you see them on TV all the time, but to see the man in person and have him actually talk, it's just an amazing experience. And it's something that I guarantee you those kids will never forget for the rest of their life. And one thing I remember most from that was like they had one of the night, like big campfire things where it was like 80,000 plus people. And this back when there's no cell phones. So if you got lost from your group, you got lost. And not that I did, but when we did that, if you ever saw, trying to think of the movie, I can't think of it now, but it was an 80s movie. But anyways, they did all these laser light things with like where they had lasers and it was just like so cool to see, because that was like the big thing, is where they'd have lasers and they could spell something out. So lasers were, that was like the big, and we thought that was like the coolest thing in the world to see lasers. And they had like BSA and an American flag, and then they had a concert one of the nights where they had the Jets come. Oh, that was just to see the Jets. We've got it all. They played all their hits, and it was just something cool. But I think the greatest memory I'll ever have is getting to see the president. That was just cool. And hear his speech. That was kind of neat. To me, they said it was too politicky, but to me, he hit a home run with the message. You know, I'm bringing jobs back. I'm bringing stuff back. People want to work. This country was founded on working and doing. It's founded on building and using your hands. And I want to bring that back to this nation. So, as we move on, folks, I love what Jared Kushner said, because, you know, they're going to talk, and I guess he's supposed to, you know, testify, and so is Obama. Nah. Yeah, Obama would never testify for anything because he was a perfect president. But Trump is going to testify, a waste of his time, because he's done nothing wrong. You know, Trump got the nomination because he had a better message and ran a smarter campaign. And that's why he won. Suggesting otherwise ridicules those who voted for him. Jared Kushner, who also has denied that there's no collaboration with Russia. But it's just one of those things that they, when you don't have anything else to go on, when your narrative is done, I mean, they can't say anything negative. The stock market keeps hitting record highs. This country keeps doing amazing things. Jobs are coming back. This country is turning around. And when you have nothing negative to say, all you can do is keep bashing Trump. They keep trying to push this Russian narrative, and there's nothing there. And that's oh God. Like, move on. Move on, or you shouldn't be a journalist. Move on. Well, as everyone knows, you know, we got a sexist and racist president. He hates black people, he hates women, he's against all that. You know, that's why he decided to give Sarah Huckabee Sanders the White House press secretary position. You know, because he hates, you know, he's not going to promote a woman. Women aren't going to do anything in his administration. And since they've got nothing, I mean, since he actually appointed a woman to that position, he can't be sexist, so they have to make fun of her. They have to call her, what was it that Iron Madison III of the Daily Beast called her, a butch queen? Because they have, it's just, yeah, they got it, yeah. Listen to Todd Starnes and what he said about it. It's just incredible. I mean, where are the feminists? Why aren't they outraged that they're going off on Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Where are you? They're not there because they have an agenda to keep. See, Trump doing the things he is doing defies their agenda. He's racist. But he has on his cabinet, he has supporters like Herman Cain and Ben Carson on his cabinet. Oh, but he's sexist. Well, you know, he just took Sarah Huckabee Sanders and has her as the White House press secretary. Yep. Yeah, his campaign manager is a woman. Yep. Well, when you're married, you always listen to your wife. That's a given. Unless you want to sleep on the couch. But my point is, when you have a narrative and you have an agenda and it's falling apart because there's no Russia collusion, he's having blacks in his cabinet, he's having women become his campaign manager, women being the White Press House secretary, he listens to his wife and his daughters. They have to trash the people because they don't have anything, they can't say anything. Oh wow, so she's a butch queen. How does that make her unqualified? Whoop-de-doo, so what? I'd be like, what? Oh, I see what's going on. She doesn't fit the agenda you guys have. Your agenda is he's a sexist, racist, homophobe that doesn't like anybody. I mean, imagine if that was to be said about Michelle Obama. Someone from the right was to call Michelle Obama a butch queen. I guarantee you, that would be front page news on every media outlet everywhere. How dare that woman should be hung? How dare she talk to the first lady like that? How dare they attack Obama's kids like, you know, they attack Trump and his kids and his wife all day long and no one cares. It's okay to attack any Republican, but how dare you attack a Democrat? That shows a lack of disrespect. I cannot believe how anyone in this nation could think of questioning or like talking bad about a president. I mean, it's disrespectful. Like, you know, I mean, our president Barack Obama right now, as he's president, you know, we I mean, I don't know how anyone can disrespect a president like that. That is not American to disrespect. Oh, but now that Trump's in the office, oh, you can trash him all you want. And that's perfectly legal. It's American to trash Obama. No, it's not. But it is to, it's not American to trash Obama, but it's American to trash Trump and Bush and Reagan and everyone else. Yep. That's how the cookie crumbles. Roomy feminist if it fits our agenda. Just watch those videos where they interview the people that are protesting. Half of them don't have a clue what they're saying or what they're marching for. Because half the times when they get talking to them, well, you just agreed with what I was asking you. Well, that's 190% different from what they're, these people are marching, which you just are marching for this. You just told me that you're against what they're marching for and you're marching with them. Because they don't know anything. They probably went to some website from a friend. Oh yeah, go here, they'll pay you $2,000. You just go march and protest. And like that Antifa guy that was on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox like 2 weeks ago. Oh, we're just fighting back because we feel threatened. So the day after Trump won, when there are guys that are just breaking windows and setting cars on fire, they feel threatened. I thought you guys said that there was no Trump supporters at the inauguration, that there was hardly anyone there compared to Obama's. There's no one around those people when they're breaking glass and torching cars. How can you feel threatened? I could see if a guy had a gun to your head, then okay, but when you're all by yourself, taking a baseball bat and breaking a window or throwing a rock at a window, if kids are listening, you should hear this, okay? I don't know who Lana Del Rey is, but take my advice. If you want to end up like her, don't do crack. Don't do coke, don't do crack, don't do any drugs if you want to end up like her, because she's actually revealed that she tried to put a hex on President Trump earlier this year doing witchcraft. The 23-year-old singer has come out and said, oh yeah, I tried to do a hex on President Trump and using witchcraft and all this stuff. And you know, she needs to lay off the crack. I mean, seriously? Imagine what would have happened if some like conservative singer came out, oh yeah, when yes, I was having a seance trying to get, you know, demons to come and attack Obama. They would have called that out in a heartbeat, saying, what a kook, what a Lord helper, you know, like that person needs help. He or she, whoever it would have been. I don't understand. I mean, if someone can explain that to me, I would love to know his. I would love to understand. I don't get that. I really don't get it, because that doesn't make sense to me. I don't know her music. I'm not into the new music. You know, I'm into the music that you can understand the lyrics, that you can relate to it. Okay, put on a Barry Manilow album. Put on a Air Supply album. Put on a Christopher Cross album. They will still be relevant 50 years from now, because they talk about life and living and love. You didn't need to have a pamphlet that had the lyrics on it. You knew what they said. Now some of this music, you're like, you sit there and you go to elyrics.com. That's what it says. Okay. I wouldn't have got that off of that garbled mess that was coming out of the guy screaming, but hey. But that's the world we live in. Some of the music to me today, I don't get, just like, I don't get these kids of today. They just think everything should be given to them. Everything should be handed to them. And they, I mean, I feel like they just walk up and, like, I bet you $100 you could get someone out there and just, and get a line of people just marching and protesting about anything. It could be, I don't know, like kill the dolphins. And they'd be like, oh yeah, we need to, I mean, and they'd probably like not even think about what they're saying, what they're doing, because that's what these kids are. I mean, I'm just so grateful I had a family like my dad that taught me about things. Taught me where we came from. You know, taught me right from wrong. See that flag right there? I was in Vietnam spending 2 months putting up a radio tower that was bombed in one day just so that we could have communications. I sacrificed so that you could have. If we didn't do what we did, your ancestors played dead on D-Day for 3 days. We were one step away from all speaking German. Thank every Native American you get your hands on, because I think it was the Cherokee language that they used in World War II that no one could decipher it. And that's how they were able to get messages back and forth that were they couldn't decode them to find out what they said. I know it was a Native American language. I think it was Cherokee. But these kids today don't have a clue. Because of issues I have with my body, I couldn't be in the military. And I probably would have gotten through the physical until I started to have issues. And then they would, you know, something's not right. And what I have probably would have been diagnosed a lot sooner. But because I wish I could have served. I mean, I was at Aldi's and they had on sale for $2 a U.S. flag set, 100% made in the USA. They were like around for the 4th of July, $2.99 on sale. And I got one, so we got an American flag in the front and the back. Because you can never be too patriotic. Like I always say, if you know your history, you know where we came from, you know where we can go. If you lose sight of your history, you're doomed to repeat it. Wasn't that in science class where they did the experiments where, okay, here's your hypothesis. I think if I do this, if I take a match and I light it to gasoline, it's going to explode. Okay, well, that's your hypothesis. Now go do the experiment and see what happens. And if you light a match to gasoline, bang, okay, explodes. And then you say, okay, then that's your history. And okay, how can we keep that from happening? Don't light a match to it. And then you do, and you okay, this is how we can prevent this. If you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. If you don't know that someone's already done the experiment of taking a match and lighting it to gasoline, why do you think they stopped using hydrogen in balloons and in Zeppelins? Because it's highly flammable. You know, Throw your kids party balloons with hydrogen next time at their birthday and then light them on fire and scare the crap out of them. That's why they don't do it anymore. They learned. Hey, look what happened to the Hindenburg. They learned from their past. If you don't know that hydrogen is highly flammable, you're going to keep using it until someone realizes that we have another Hindenburg. And you're just doomed to repeat your history. I mean, if I was going to open up a restaurant, I'd say, well, what restaurant's successful? Why are they successful? What do they do? Copy that. Do your own spin off of that. World War II veteran 92 surprised with honors flight after assaulted by flag vandals in Texas. He said several times his flags had been vandalized. The American flag and the Marine flag. A 92-year-old legally blind veteran who was attacked by a group of people trying to vandalize flags at the man's Texas home was surprised by fellow Marines on Sunday when they honored the vet with a special trip to Washington, D.C., an honors flight. Earlier this month, Howard Banks said he heard noises coming from the area near the flagpole in front of his Kaufman home and went to find out what was going on. Vandals had previously shredded his American flag and Marine Corps flags and threw them in a ditch. When he got outside, he was pushed to the ground and they ran away. Banks, who has been blind and blinded, he's been blind, but he was blinded by a flare in Iwo Jima when he was 20. So he was not able to provide a full description of the attackers. That when I read that story, I was in tears the first time I read that story, because that just, this Marine goes, first of all, that makes me want to explode when I hear that he did that to not only the American flag, but the Marine flag. And this one Marine goes, not only should you not be desecrating the American flag or the Marine flag, but there should be a line out the door a mile long to talk to this man. He is living history. If I had the money, I would take 3-day vacation to go down and talk to that man. Just to learn about where he's been, what he's done, his history. It's a part of Americana that's going to the wayside of a generation, of an era gone by. When stuff wasn't given to you, when you had to earn it, when you had to do without, and you had closet cleanout soups, when you took everything in the fridge and you put it together and that was the soup. My mom's a good example. She'll take 5 different cereals and at the very bottom of the cereal box and mix them all together and make a jumbled cereal just to use up this, instead of leaving that little bit in the bottom. She'll mix it all, like 5 of them together, and to use it up. Because she grew up in a time when, okay, well, I really want toast, but I'm not going to turn on the oven just to make a piece of toast. So you wouldn't have toast. Nowadays, people want everything snap at their fingers. Imagine taking a 13-year-old and telling them, okay, well, just an FYI, if you want to have toast, you got to turn on the oven. What? There's about 28 minutes left in the program, and I want to thank you all for tuning in wherever you are around the world. I hope if you're in England or in France or in Spain, you wouldn't want someone just desecrating your flag and your nation. There's no difference. Now he's got cameras on his house and the police are investigating this, and it's just sickening to see that there are people out there vandalizing the American flag. It's just sad. I want to get into this because President Trump is a fighter. Because, I mean, he is pushing and saying, hey, you as Republicans need to repeal this Obamacare and replace it with something better. The more you just play around and screw around and don't do anything, it's just going to hurt you. Because people are going to say, hey, well, we got screwed by Democrats, and these Republicans aren't any better, so we're just going to go back to Democrats again. At some point, people should wake up and realize, okay, well, nothing really happened when we had all Democrat control and Obama was in power. Now we got all Republicans, and we seem to have a president that wants to do stuff, and everyone else is just still farting around. You guys are going to... You need to do something. If you're truly here to do the work of the people, you shouldn't be going on session. You shouldn't be taking a break or anything until this is done. Roll up your sleeves and get the job done that you were brought here to do for the American people. If Republicans don't repeal and replace the dangerous Obamacare, the repercussions will be far greater than any of them understand. Donald J. Trump. No. He's not threatening them. Yeah. That's what I don't think the Democrats realized. Wait a minute here. This Obamacare, this has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. Why aren't politicians having to use Obamacare? We're being forced to use it. Why aren't they being forced to use it? And I tried to get that to people's, some of my liberal friends' heads. Okay, you might think Obamacare is great, but then why aren't they using it? If it's so wonderful, Obama should be getting special treatment. He should be getting he should be number one to go to the website and sign up. You should be complaining that all these congressmen and senators are getting special pieces of paper and let them use the website before anyone else. Yeah, they're having a pre-Obamacare sign up, and I'm one of them. So before the general public can sign up for Obamacare, I'm one of the first ones. That's because I'm a congressman. No, they exempted themselves. I'm like, bells should be going off in your head. Okay, why are we being forced to use something that congressmen and senators don't have to use? He's not threatening them. He's saying, this is the reality. If you don't do something, you're going to get backlash from the American people. But I guess I, a long time ago, saw, okay, well, if we had a ton of Republican control and they really didn't see much happen, then we went all Democrat. We didn't. I mean, just look at the history between... They go from Republican to Democrat, Republican to Democrat, Republican to Democrat, until eventually, I think we're going to have like we did back in the old days when we went from the Whigs Party to the Republican Party. I think eventually they're going to get fed up, and someone's going to start a new party, a new conservative party where, okay, there really is no difference between most Republicans and most Democrats. You know, most Republicans are basically liberals with their R in their name. So, we need to do something about it. I think that's what's going to happen. I'm going to move on because this is kind of, Michael Phelps versus Jaws. It was like the start of Shark Week, and they were supposed to have like Michael Phelps. Can he swim faster than a shark? And when I saw a preview of this, I heard that like they had him in a tank like in like a metal cage surrounded by sharks to get him used to being around sharks and all this. And I'm like, okay, he's going to swim. Like, but then how, I'm like, well, how are they going to have, like when they say go, how are they going to know that the shark's just going to go and take off and go unless they have like a cage that's like maybe like 20 feet by like 20 feet wide, but like, let's say like 300, 400 feet long. And that's all it can do is go down this path to keep it in a straight line. Because most sharks would see human lunch and they would do a right turn right into them or a left turn, depending on which side they are, and just eat them. I'm like, how are they going to get a shark to do this? And I guess what it was is, and a lot of people are PO'd about it, is because, well, this is the average speed of this shark or whatever, and the shark would go from here to here in this amount of time. And they had Michael Phelps swim against a computer shark, generated shark. It wasn't real. Of course, the shark won, going off of all the data they have on how fast the shark would swim and all this. And this is how, this is what it would take Michael Phelps to go from here to here. This is how long it would take the computer generated shark to go from point A to point B based on all the data they have on how fast sharks swim and all this, whatever. And I guess a lot of people are up in arms and all mad and pissed off. And but then I see their frustration, but then I guess I thought about, like, well, how would they get a shark to just go in a straight line unless they have like a 300 or 400 foot like straight line of cage, you know? And when they said go, how would they know the shark would just go and not just, I mean, would they have to hold its tail fin and then release it? Or I don't know, all these things that I thought of, how would they do this and this and this and this? And then I guess they had tons and tons of people turn in and were like so mad. But hey, I didn't watch it, so I'm the lucky one. I guess I'm skeptical about TV ever since that Geraldo Rivera event where, hello, folks, welcome into hour 400 of Al Capone's Vault here, folks. We're just about to, after 12 days, unveil what's behind Al Capone's Vault. Let's see what's in there. I mean, you think he would have looked in it ahead of time to make sure, Captain, we got a problem here. You need to put something in there. It's empty. What do we do? Do we, like, not air this? Do we just, you know, what do we do? You thought that's what they would have done. Check to make sure it. Yep. But then, how can you complain? Well, we're not gonna. Sorry, folks, but this is reality. We didn't look at it ahead of time. There might have been something in there. There might have not. It might be empty. It might be full. Who knows? We'll find out together. If there's nothing there, oh well. But I'm not going to sit there and open that ahead of time. And that's how I would have handled it. Well, you guys would have given me crap if I would have opened it up ahead of time and it was empty and not even done the special. But since I did, and there's nothing there, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Geraldo Rivera at all anyway, so. But ever since then, I've questioned TV. Like, I think I said this last week, I was even more PO'd when I found out that, like, O.J. Simpson, because we kept watching that thing, and okay, something big's going to happen if we change the channel, and they were just going slow so we could listen to the end of the basketball game. Imagine if that would have went to, like, quadruple overtime. Here we go, folks. We're in the sixth overtime. I mean, what would he just kept driving around? Okay, we got to do something, OJ. We're running out of fuel. Well, it's on seven overtimes. Keep going. I want to see the end of the game. When I found out, like a year ago or whatever, that they were driving slow so that he could listen to the end of the basketball game, I'm like, you're kidding me. I didn't flip the channel. We were at one of my best friends in high school, his house with his uncle and his dad, watching that, and we didn't change the channel because we thought as soon as we did, something big would happen. That's how the cookie crumbles. in regards to the Michael Phelps thing, I don't know if they said there was going to actually be a live shark and he was going to swim next to it. I mean, if they actually said that and nothing happened, okay. If they said he's going to, you know, so who knows? I want to move on, folks. Yeah, I was watching the other day. I think it was on CBS News. They were talking about the Long Strange Trip documentary, The Grateful Dead's like 3.5 hours, almost four. And it said like out June 2nd. When I looked into it, it's an Amazon film. So you can only get it via Amazon. So it's like, okay, you know. Yeah. Because I used to love South Park Studios until they sold out. And now all of South Park is on that Hulu. And like, I think 3/4 of them, I don't know. It used to be where some of them were free, you could watch. Some of them were like you can only get with Hulu. Now I think that you have to belong to Hulu to watch any of them. And it's just, you know, it's like, because that was cool. Because South Park had their own website and they would comment and about the episode or whatever. Like when they did the one that only aired that night where they made fun of Muhammad or whatever, they commented that there was nothing. We don't know why the last minute and a half it was all beeped and all this. And I'm like, well, I may have to get Amazon Prime just so I can watch this Long Strange Trip documentary. Because I'm a huge Deadhead. And not but like an hour or two later, my buddy Scott from Paris calls on my Facebook. And he's like, there you go. Gives me a link and it doesn't work. And we try all this stuff and I get this, what's this thing called? I got Dropbox. And you need to have like 8 gigabytes. You have to get like, you get 2 gigabytes free, but if you want for like, you can get like 1 tig for like less than 3 cups of coffee, like 3 Starbucks coffees a month. It's cheaper than that, and you get a tig. And I'm like, I don't want to sign up for anything. So we start going through it, and he gets me a link and it downloads. And I'm like, okay, 4 hours into it, I'm like 500 megabytes. And okay, I'm 4 hours in, and I'm just over half of 1 gigabyte, and this thing is 6 gigabytes. And I just, so to make sure my computer wouldn't shut off or like go like to sleep or anything, I just had videos playing on YouTube. And I wake up because I had to be up at like 5 a.m. for work, and came on and it was downloaded. Yes, it worked. I'm like, oh, my back, which I could have claimed. I'll get into that in a little bit. Maybe, but that documentary, I've got an hour left of it, but that documentary, I learned stuff from it. It's a lot of home videos, a lot of like, you know, and they were successful for one reason. It wasn't about money. They were, in the beginning, they were broke beyond broke. They were spending more money than they were bringing in. And the Warner Brothers is like, no, you got to make, we need an album. Like, they just want to play music. Okay, this is how you play the song. Say you play, okay. I don't know how to play the song the same way 25 times. Every time I play it, I'm going to do some improvisation and play it different every time. That's what made the Dead so successful. Every time they played the song, it was totally different. They never duplicated. It wasn't like, okay, that's one thing with Geddy Lee. He goes, the hardest thing about a show is coming up with a set list. Okay, what songs did we play last tour? What songs did we play? What songs didn't we play? What old songs do we want to bring back from the past we haven't played in a long time? And I'm like, well, the Dead did a different set every night. Oh, they did all kinds of stuff. But where... show me a concert today where, okay, you have war rats, people that are following the band that are like AA members that are like, okay, during the intermission, they would have like a 12-step meeting and they would talk, and you had people that were going through the same struggles you're going through. You won't see that at a concert today. They had, okay, this is where Phil Lash and bassists hung out. Because it was on that side of the stage. This is where Jerry Garcia fans were at. There were guitarists and Bob Weir fans. This is a section of deaf people. Okay, they would give them fully inflated balloons to stick against their chests so that when the speakers, the noise would vibrate against the balloon, it would vibrate and they could feel the vibrations, and they could, that's how they could sense the show. A lot of deaf people will play music with their shoes off so that, and they're barefoot, so that they can feel the vibrations. And they would have a sign language interpreter that would be doing sign languaging about things going on stage and lyrics being said and all that. Show me where that would happen in a concert today. It's unprecedented, but it's just amazing. I highly recommend it to anyone that's a deadhead, and anyone that maybe is a deadhead, but their wife doesn't get it, or husband doesn't get it. It will explain. My wife understands my passion, why I love them. So, she's watched basically the whole thing with me. And it's just, I'm just grateful to have someone that understands it. And, you know, I've known some people like, oh, again? No, you don't understand. This is Europe 72. One thing I didn't know, but go on YouTube and look up Europe 72 Morning Dew by the Grateful Dead. That is an incredible, one of the greatest morning dews they've ever done. And when you find out later that there was no one in the truck when it was being taped, the taper guy had to do something on stage. And when he come out and do something, he locked the truck up and was like, okay, good luck. And when Jerry and them saw him in there, they realized there's no one in the truck, or the taper truck. He's all by himself. He's the only one there. Jerry just getting looked like, you don't go anywhere. For this song, you're in here. And Jerry came up to him later. He goes, guess what? Morning Dew is going to be on that record. You're up 72. And there was no one in the truck when it was being recorded. It was Jerry basically saying that was God. That's why that turned out so great. But that's just amazing. And he's like, oh, I could have went locked. There was so much footage and this and that. And, you know, like it could have been like five times as long. But it's just really neat just to see a lot of the home videos and hear a lot of stories from, you know, like when they did the Wall of Sound, or they were basically okay. You know, at 6 o'clock, they're going to this venue, setting it up. By the time they got the Wall of Sound set up, they did a sound check. At 7 o'clock, they're going on. By 10 o'clock, they're done. By the time they tear everything down and get the trucks and stuff loaded up, they might have like 2 or 3 hours to sleep. And they were at the next venue, and they had to be unloading the trucks and setting it up. And it was just a huge, huge undertaking. And I think the Wall of Sound is what made them take the break. Because they were always about the greatest and best and most. They wanted the fans to have the best experience. Be a part of the band, basically. And I think that's what gave them, because like they were just getting so exhausted. And it's kind of neat. Got about 8 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. And to the program that I hope you feel a part of, and I hope you get up and do something and be a part of something you believe in and support in. You know, like if some things would happen to my life, I might not be here. I might not be alive. I might have found out my muscle issues sooner in life. Who knows? You know, that's what I do. As a lot of my listeners that listen all the time know, I run a support group for my myopathy, because I needed support. You know, and Lisa and Don, two people that I consider my best friends, joined it in the very, very beginning because I had nobody. Just to be there. They're not on it now. They don't use it now because they don't have that. But when I had nobody, they just tried to be that moral support for me. Because I really had nobody. I was, what do? I'm diagnosed with this. No one understands. No one believes me. No one gets me. No one this. And now I'm almost at 300 members. And when I always, once I get about 20 new members or whatever, I usually post something, you know, this is why I do what I do. You know, I needed help and this and that. And somebody commented today that she goes, I used to feel lost. I felt like no one got what I was going through. And thank you for adding me to this group because now I feel, and I know I'm not alone. That I'm not the only one going through this. I thought I was until the support group. You have no idea what this has done for my life. And I just do what I do. I don't get how it changes people's lives. I mean, I've had people tell me how much I've changed my wife's life, and I just do what I do. And I don't think I do anything. And my point is, you may not think you're doing something, but that little bit can change someone's life. And that's what I try to get through your head. You can change someone's life. It's mind-boggling. I don't look at myself as anybody big, but if I don't think of myself as something big and I can do this for people, imagine what this world could be if everyone just was there for people and helped each other out. You know, instead of arguing and complaining, well, you think Trump's going to make America great? No, we are. Someone actually said that to me. Well, you voted for Trump. Yeah, he's really going to make America great. Yeah, I'd love to see that. I said, he's not going to. And so why did you vote for him? Because we're going to make America great. Obama's not going to make. See, there's a difference. Obama was chanting Obama, Obama. That's what the people are chanting. Listen to that National Jamboree. They're chanting USA, USA, USA. Because it's not about Trump. It's about us doing something, helping other people. It's us giving back. It's us doing. And that's what I want you to get from this. That it's not about me. It's not about my wife who helps me produce. It's not about, it's about a greater purpose. Because someday a trophy's going to sit on the shelf and collect dust. If you're not playing football for the right reasons and not giving God the glory, then it's all for naught. Speaking of football, tomorrow we play Barcelona in a friendly, and there's been a lot of speculation, okay, because like, well, and I kind of agree with this, okay, Manchester United is putting out a decent side when they're playing in these friendlies, because hey, we're coming to the States, our fans want to see our players. I mean, imagine if Manchester United went to Chicago Fire, and you finally get to see them, and they get to play Chicago Fire and Soldiers Field, and they put out their reserves. And unless you're a true super fan that follows the under 21, the reserves, and all their academy players, you might not know any of them. And you're like, okay, I was expecting to maybe see, you know, Ryan Giggs, you know, maybe Wayne Rooney, maybe Park, you know, Dimitar Berbatov, Chicharito. And there's a lot of speculation that people are like, well, yeah, when Manchester United took on Real Madrid, they didn't, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't there. Their second half, they played the reserves. If you watch that penalty shootout, that I was pissing my pants with the announcer about, this is probably the worst freaking shootout I've ever seen in football. It's ridiculous. These are some of the best players in the world, and you mean to tell me that there's only like two goals out of like, I mean, two were so far off, they didn't even touch the goal at all. And I'm just like, because he was just going off. I mean, he's like a comedian going off about how bad some of these kicks were. But, you know, I'm 99.9% sure we're going to sign Matic, which is another Flaney, which is slower than a snail. I mean, I guess that's one thing that I don't understand, why we kept Myron Flaney and got rid of Bastian Schweinsteiger. Schweinsteiger was amazing. Well, they got rid of Chicharito. He's amazing. He had speed. He had power. But then, at least, I think Mourinho came out and said, hey, my hands are tied. This is who I want. This is, you know, back in the day when we got Ryan Giggs and when we got David Rooney and when we got SJ Park and when we got Ruud van Nistelrooy, 50% of our profit went towards players. We're not doing that now. All these other clubs like Liverpool and Chelsea and Man City, they're spending the money. And Mourinho is sitting there saying, hey, I'm trying to do stuff, but my owners are like, nope, sorry. Nope, you can't have that. I think Chelsea is complaining because they're paying 30 million pounds more than they should for a player. No, they're saying, hey, we got him. He's with us now. I worry about the fact that they overpaid later, but right now, they got the players they want. For some reason, the owners are not wanting to do that, and I don't get it. And, you know, and I think the fans will speak with their pockets. But anyways, folks, I just want to remind you that you can make a difference. It just takes one person, and you can change a life. And that one person can change many lives, and we can change a nation. And with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we meet our fortunes and our sacred honors. Until this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.